Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Find us on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
How can you put this into words when Doncic just hits two 28-footers with defense, you guys come back? I mean, is this an encouraging sign despite the loss? How do you kind of frame this?
It's tough. I think it's another heartbreaking loss. Doncic obviously got the switch and hit two tough shots, and it's tough. We got a system, and we stuck to it, and we lost tonight, based upon that. But yeah, when a guy gets it going like that, we got to get the ball out of his hands for sure.
Jaylen Brown last night, question asked by Gary Washburn, who covers the Boston Celtics for the Boston Globe, and Gary joins us live right now on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, terrific. Gary. Good. So you know this team a lot better than we do. What irritates me is I think this team over the last couple years, with what happened in New Orleans, playing a team on the second night of a back-to-back, that team having some injuries, especially to their bigs, would come out and show an awful lot of emotion and play a lot different game. Am I missing something? Is this team lost some of that energy out there?
I just think they've lost their confidence. I think Brown and Tatum have lost confidence in their teammates to hit shots. I think Kemba Walker has lost confidence in his ability to score, although he was able to score 14 in the fourth quarter last night. I just think it's a combination of things. I don't think that there's malcontents in the roster or anything like that. I just think this team lacks confidence. They lack the chemistry. They're fine. It just isn't working. And like you said, you thought that they would come out guns a-blazing last night, punch the Mavericks in the mouth, like you said, coming off of back-to-back injuries, and yet they kind of played okay. Then suddenly it was a back-and-forth game the entire way. They didn't make a real substantive run until late in the game when they were down 11. It was very typical Celtics from this year.
Yeah, Gary, to me, one of the things I've been harping on is like they need some adults on this team. I mean, they have so much youth. Last night they're down 10, and they bring Nesmith off the bench to be like a scorer. He's intimidated because who he's on the court with. He doesn't take a shot all night, and it's like they need an adult, whether it's that sixth, seventh man guy coming off the bench. There's too many kids surrounding Tatum and Jaylen and even Kemba, and I think the three of them know it.
I agree, and that's the reason that they lack confidence. Danny Ainge did not give them a lot of help on this bench. They're holding on to a lot of players, the Javonte Greens, the Carson Edwards, Grant Williams is trying, but he'll make mistakes. Like, they've got guys who are limited in how they can help the team, and then they're thrust into these situations, like you said, Aaron Nesmith, where he's literally just trying to keep his head above water and not make mistakes. And so to ask him to come off the bench and hit two threes is just too much. Well, you look at the Mavericks, they got a guy like Jalen Brunson, former second-round pick, a Villanova guy, knows how to play the game. What does he do? He scores 16 in the fourth quarter. The Celtics don't have anyone
Hardaway,
like that.
Another one.
Outside of their starting lineup. Like, they don't have any graybeards veterans on the bench. That's why veterans are needed. You need the 28, 29, 30-year-old guys to come off the bench who know what to do, have a job, know how to defend, know how not to foul 30 feet away from the basket when the Celtics are already put the team in the bonus. Like the issue last night wasn't Luka. The issue was they got put Dallas in the bonus with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It's impossible to come back when every time you make a mistake, it's a free throw. And the Celtics are just killing themselves that way.
So with that, Gary, which is interesting because it's almost like, you know, what you're saying, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, it's like almost like the two young stars almost deserve, a pass. Because I look at all these other teams, of all the other teams that have two or more all-stars, those are top five teams. I mean, those are teams that are going for the NBA Finals, and here come the Celtics with two all-stars, reserves as they might be, but Utah's got two reserves, and they're the best team in the NBA. It's almost like you have to almost ignore that and not be critical of these two all-stars because they have no help? Like, am I reading that? Is that a fair assessment of the Celtics?
I think it's somewhat fair, but you look at the other teams. Look at Brooklyn. Okay, they got three all-stars, but they also got a guy like Joe Harris. Joe Harris hits shots. Jeff Green, as much as he was not a good Celtic, has turned himself into a 40%+ three-point shooter. Utah's got two all-stars, but they also have Joe Ingles shooting 45%. They also have Mike Conley. They also have guys who can hit open shots. The Celtics, how many times have we seen Daniel Tice get an open shot, pivotal point in the game, miss an open three?
Yeah.
Kemba, miss an open three. I mean, people say, well, they don't trust their teammates, they're too selfish, but I kind of put myself in Tatum and Brown's position. If I'm passing the ball to the open man there and I hit the shot, eventually I'm going to say, yep, I'll just take it to the basket.
Yeah, but Gary, my thing is, like, you're right. Like, you just broke it down. You cover the league. I think the criticism is going to come in waves now because people aren't going to look at those other teams with the role players they have. All they're going to look at is, you got two all-stars. What's your excuse? And you can't really give an excuse because you're an all-star. And I would give him a half a point for Kemba Walker being a former all-star.
You know, I agree. It's not they can't. Boston fans are not going to look around the league and think that the Celtics are depraved of talent. They're going to think, why can't we be like other teams, Brooklyn? Why can't we be like Utah? Why can't we take care of business in the fourth quarter? The question is, but who is going to do it besides Tatum and Brown? Like, who is going to step up and hit those big shots?
Kemba.
Who, like, I don't know. Is it Kemba?
It's gotta
Kemba
be.
Has the potential, but he hasn't really gotten it done. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think you were right about the veteran stuff, but Danny has elected really to go as a young team and to slowly build off of a young team. I would rather see veterans here. I would have traded a lot of these guys for veterans, but he doesn't want to go there yet. I almost think they're caught in the middle here, Gary. So you got a guy like Robert Williams, and there are nights that Brad will play him because it's a good matchup for him. Other nights he won't play him much because it's a bad matchup. So how are you going to develop the young players? I would rather get rid of him, bring a veteran in who's going to help you right now. You got to go one way or the other, no?
I think you can go one way. I think you can develop guys like Robert Williams, but you can't have Carson Edwards, Tremont Waters, Javonte Green, Grant Williams, and you can't have four other guys doing the same thing in development. This isn't the G League. And the Celtics don't have a G League team, so it's not like they can send guys down to get experience. So all these guys are just kind of sitting there going, well, am I going to play tonight? And if I'm going to play, what am I going to do out there? Like, it's too much. You don't have established veterans to come off the bench like we talked about to know their role. Hey, I'm playing 18 minutes a game. This is my role. Robert Williams, I think, is fine. I don't think he's been the issue at all. It's just that Danny and the organization has refused to admit they made mistakes in the draft, and you just have to move on from those mistakes. You look at the other teams, the other elite teams around the league, the Brooklyns, the Lakers. They make roster moves. The Lakers just released Quinn Cook. Why? Just to open up a roster spot. Could Quinn Cook play for the Lakers? Of course. But it's like, hey, you're not doing us any good right now. We need to get better. Danny's afraid to make those moves because is it because he doesn't want to admit, hey, I made a mistake in the draft by taking Carson Edwards. I made a mistake by clinging to Javonte Green or let's say a Tremont Waters. It's some type of like patriot, like we know better than you guys, so we're just going to stick to what we do. But the Patriots did that, won six Super Bowls. Like, the Celtics haven't won a title in 13 years.
So the we know better than all you other guys mentality needs to stop.
We're talking to Gary Washburn here of the Boston Globe. And, Gary, I don't know if you asked a question or not last night, but something that Jaylen Brown said last night kind of stuck with me when you were talking about that final play. He said something like, you know, that we switch, that's just our system, and we got burned by it. And I almost felt like there was some frustration with that statement, because when you watch this team, you tell me, they give up the switch so easily sometimes that I think it's easily for an offense to get that right matchup that they're looking for. Was there, did you sense any frustration in Jaylen Brown last night in that?
I sense frustration in Jaylen after a lot of losses. I think he bites his tongue a lot. And I think, of course, did he want to guard Luka in that, not the winning three-pointer, but the one that put him ahead with 15? Of course he did. But they got the switch. The Celtics on defense are encouraged to switch everything because they want to have these versatile defenders. So there you go with Daniel Theis, 32 feet away from the basket, trying to stop Luka.
Well, do they have enough of those guys, though, to have that system? I mean, do you have enough of those guys to be able to just freely switch?
They really don't. That's why they're not good defensively.
So why are they doing it?
That's the system. That's the system. And they want to be like that, but they're not. That's the problem.
Well, shouldn't you change the system then, Gary?
Yeah, I think Brad has to make some adjustments and, let's say, meet Jaylen. If your best player wants to defend their best player, you let him do it. You do not switch him to your eighth best player where Theis is going to get lost. And listen, Luka hit two amazing shots. It really was. Theis played solid defense.
Yeah, he was
but
on him.
What happens when Jaylen is on him? Does that change? Is he so eager to shoot? Does he pass the ball? Did he try to drive and take a floater? Like, what happens when Jaylen, 6'7", a 10 times better athlete than Luka, is in his face as opposed to Daniel Theis, where he goes, oh, I can take this guy.
Right. Yeah.
Let me just pull up. That's the problem. Theis is a solid defender, but you're putting guys in positions, and that I think that's been Brad's, where they cannot succeed because they're trying because they don't have the versatility that they think they have. They've had in the past.
Okay, we're talking to Gary Washburn. And Gary, I just want to get your opinion on something because there's a lot of rumors going around, trade deadline, all that stuff. And there was one going around involving Kemba Walker and how Danny tried like hell to trade him and how other GMs were mad that Danny was trying to trade him because he was hurt. I mean, can you give us any insight on that to whether it's true or not? Is it just kind of speculation?
I do think that they were throwing Kemba out there as a potential deal to try to improve. Now, were they saying he's completely healthy and he wasn't? I don't think there was deception there. I do think that they felt he would come back from this knee situation. But I do think there's a general still some bad feelings around the league about how Danny did Isaiah Thomas. Okay?
Really?
And now Danny, big time, around veterans and guys who thought that they – gave up on Isaiah when Isaiah sacrificed his body for the organization to bring the organization back after, you know, Brad took over and he went to the lottery. Yeah, there's a lot of still, there's some ill will there. There's some teams that don't want to do business with Danny because they might get, you know, swindled because Danny has obviously won a lot of deals. So there's some obstacles facing Danny, but I think there's also some stubbornness. Danny has the same guys around him working in the organization for years. Maybe it's time for some fresh blood in the front office, a new voice, or a better talent evaluator in terms of the draft. I like Aaron Nesmith, but when you see a guy like Sadiq Bey, who was taking five picks after Nesmith, hit seven threes in a win, he's hit 14 threes against the Celtics this season. I don't know if Nesmith has 14 threes this season as by himself. So you look at the drafts, you look at some of the guys they skipped. They basically gave away that last pick of the first round because they didn't want to get a look in the roster because you don't want to part with a Carson Edwards or a Tremont Waters. Like, some of these things are just getting antiquated. Like, they need, I think, some fresh voices in the front office, and who knows if that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen anytime soon, even with the coach. I don't think they're going to move the coach, but I want to get to Kemba Walker. How do you trade him now? So you look at what's left on his contract. And we all know, and every general manager in the league knows right now, he's got some physical ailments which might be messing up his mechanics on his shot. He's not a guy that can drive and take the ball to the hole the way he could. We know he can't defend, Gary. So who the hell wants Kemba Walker? What are you going to get for Kemba Walker if you're looking And you need a significant player in return in that deal, no?
Yeah, you do, but I never thought Chris Paul would get traded or John Wall coming off missing 2 years or Russell Westbrook. Any contract is tradable. It's just what you take back. I don't think you just throw out Kimba. I think you give him a chance to recover, get his confidence back. I do think he can still be a valuable player. It's all-star caliber. Charlotte Kimba, maybe not. But I also think time has to come to essence, too, in terms of, you know, maybe the last year of his contract. Unless you decide you're going to take another bad deal back, quote-unquote bad deal, or someone else's unwanted, max deal in return, they're probably going to have to hold on to Kimba because you're right, Glenn. Like, I don't know if he's tradable right now, but he is tradable. Any contract is tradable. But I think when you're coming toward free agency, it becomes more possible that you can move that deal.
All right, Gary, last one for me because I know you had that original report, I believe, of what that Indiana deal was for. That deal never happened, but you got this great trade exception, which everybody was just hyping up. I'm starting to feel like Danny Ainge might look at this team and say it's not worth using this year. And you know what I mean? Just sort of prolonging it. Does he use it? What would he use it for?
That's the thing. You can break that thing up and get a guy who makes $16 million a year. You don't have to blow the whole $28.5 million. You would hope that Ainge uses it because I think that adds confidence. I think Jalen and Jason are looking for some reason to be encouraged here. And when they look at this roster and they're going, we're rolling with the same guys. And you look at Brooklyn, you look at the Lakers, you look at all these teams just making moves. And we're sitting here, if you're a Celtic, you know, if you're Brown and Tatum, we're sitting here with the same 15, 17 guys, Taco and Tremont at the end of the bench, Carter, like, we're still doing this. And so I think you've got to use that trade exception to just put some kind of zest in your roster, zest in your franchise that a new guy's coming in. Who's going to be available? It's interesting to see. We're a month away from the trade deadline. And remember, guys, there's two more playoff spots left. There's 10 teams in each conference because you get to the play-in. So that narrows the sellers because now Washington's in the mix for the playoffs. Orlando is still in the mix. All these teams that have players that the Celtics might want might wait till the end, several weeks to say, we don't know yet. Because the Celtics can offer some first-round picks, but that trade exception, you can't include a player in that. So it gets tricky. It's like a coupon, but is Danny going to use the coupon now? Or like you said, maybe wait till the offseason and try to see if it's a better situation. I think Danny's going to feel like he's going to make the right move for the organization and not hurry and do anything because if he were to feel that way, he would have already done something.
I like that, a coupon analogy. You don't usually get that from basketball writers. Let me ask you one more. You were in the bubble last year, right? You were there physically, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. This year, how does it work out? And I'm wondering, when it's all hitting the fan right now, usually if you're with the team and you're there every day, you get the opportunity to get a guy to the side, you find out a little bit of what's going on. How much more difficult is it to cover this thing?
Yeah, it's more difficult because everything is on Zoom call, so you got 35 guys or gals, folks on the call, listening to what Jalen has to say as opposed to maybe pulling them aside and saying, hey, what's going on here? And that face-to-face interaction, it definitely affects your job because you don't have that personable situation to talk to a guy and yeah. The guy can say, hey, it's just me and you, right? Okay, this is what I'll tell you this, as opposed to just being on a Zoom call. So it does make the job a little bit more difficult. You just have to be really observant about, like, that. You guys blew up that quote, which I think was appropriate last night, where Jalen said, we stuck to our philosophy, and we lost because of it. Like, yeah. That kind of stuff stands out.
Yeah. Yeah, the Zoom calls, right. They really suck, these Zoom calls. They're just awful.
Couldn't even see Jalen's face with the I think he had a hoodie on, a mask, and his beard. You can barely even see who was there.
He's got it all working. Yeah. Gary, great talking to you. Thanks, bud. We'll talk to you down the road. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks,
later,
Gary.
Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. This hour of OMF brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, locations in Dedham right next door to Legacy Place and Salem, New Hampshire. They're online at northeastmenshealth.com.